we want to tell you about a great podcast called Homophilia, hosted by Dave Holmes and Matt McConkie.
Every week, Dave and Matt grill LGBTQIA celebrities to find out what and who they are loving.
You'll get all the dish on how your favorite celebrities are surviving this pandemic, what they're watching, reading, listening to, and the latest industry gossip.
But after they go shallow, Matt and Dave go deep and ask their questions about who they're loving, with stories ranging from hilarious and heartwarming to deeply heartbreaking and everything in between.
With all-star guests like Lena Waithe, Andrew Scott, Matt Bomer, Shangela, Carson Kressley, and Jim Rash.
New episodes of Homophilia come out every Friday. Listen and subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Netflix, or I should say Bravo, but also Netflix. Really anything on TV we're going to watch these days. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real House, Where's the Kitchen Island, and also the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is a hilarious, wonderful man, the embodiment of kawaii. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on?
Well, hello.
Did I say that correctly? Kawaii? Kawaii?
Kawaii? I don't know. I'm ignorant. What do you want me to tell you? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, it was a part of the challenge today because we're talking about Great British Bake Off. And it was Japanese week on the show, which meant that there had to be Japanese delectables on display, including stuff that's kawaii. I hope I'm saying that. Or am I just saying a Hawaiian island? But it's the
What it sounds like to me. But I don't know. I'll fuck that up once I get to it. How about that?
Okay, we'll move towards that. Okay, but in the meantime, right now, oh no, it is kawaii. It's spelled just like the island, kawaii. Anyway, very exciting stuff. The point is this, we are less than a week away from, I'm just going to mess
What's
up everything.
What's wrong with you today? What's happening over there?
I'm deranged. I was going to say that we're less than a week away from our live show, but that's wrong. We're a week and a day away. On November 12th, next Thursday, we are doing the series premiere of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and it's going to be a live virtual show. Come join us. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can come and join in and check us out. This is going to be fun because I think this is the first time that we are doing a live show where friends from different cities can come together and watch us. So we're all going to be a super fun time. Check it out. Go to watchcrappens.com for all the information. It's going to be on onlocationlive.com. And I don't know, is there anything else we have to shill before we jump into Japanese week?
That's it, man.
Okay, good. I should probably stop talking.
Japanese week on Great British Baking Show. Now, I love some Japanese food in general, but I don't really know anything about Japanese sweets. I've seen some of these sweet bun things that they make, but the only steamed bun, the only steamed thing I have bread-wise is, I think, a White Castle burger. Because those are steamed burgers. I remember hearing that when I was young, and that's always stuck in my head. Ew, a steamed burger.
Yeah. I actually don't know very much about Japanese sweets either, or Japanese baking. Because even buns, my familiarity with buns really is more on the Chinese side with bao and things like that, which may be very, very close to the Japanese side. But yeah, I actually am woefully ignorant on this topic.
Yeah, me too. And I thought it was, well, two things. I thought it was really funny that they go from brownies to this. It's quite a step up in the difficulty level. Mm-hmm. And also, this whole challenge is just a reason for Paul Hollywood to say, oh, well, I was just in Japan.
And for him to finally express how much he hates gherkins.
Yes, gherkins. Also, someone was posting on Facebook and it was cracking me up, saying that Paul Hollywood is obviously standing on something to make him look taller because you never see his feet. And so during this entire episode, I was watching to see if you ever see below his knees and you don't. It's oh my like God. When people are pregnant on TV and they try and hide behind bookshelves and stuff.
Or if you're Tom Cruise.
Yeah, or Burt Reynolds or whatever.
Do you know that Tom Cruise, so if you go to Paramount Studios, there's like this there's like a fake city street. A lot of commercials, a lot of movies are filmed on this fake city street on the back lot. And the city street, it's all these facades of like, you know, a city street. And they have different doorways for different sized actors. So that way someone like Tom Cruise or like a Ben Stiller, like a short actor, can film in the smaller door. So that way they look taller.
I love that.
That's
so funny.
I love crazy actors. I love the accommodations we make for them.
Okay, I'm looking at short. I'm going to look up short. Let's see.
By the way, I learned this when I went on the Paramount Studios tour. Okay, so if anyone's wondering, like, that's a lie, I'm citing my source, the Paramount Studios tour. And the other thing is that Tom Cruise used to, everyone on Paramount Studios, there's like, everyone drives around in little golf carts because the lot is really big. So to get from point A to point B, you need to drive a golf cart. And Tom Cruise, his golf cart, this is the scuttlebutt that was on the lot, was that back in the day, he had like plastic flaps on his golf cart, so you couldn't see him. But it's like, if there's any way to make people realize you're Tom Cruise, it's to be the one golf cart that has plastic flaps on it.
Everybody, I've come up with an answer. Well, not about the box, because I can't find anybody admitting that Paul Hollywood stands on a box. But his height is 5'7". And Prue's height is 5'8.5".
Oh, yeah. Ooh, he's definitely on a stack of magazines, for sure. That is for sure.
So I always say, you know, leave short men alone, because all my girlfriends, it's like, what are you looking for? Well, he needs to be at least 6'4". I'm like, oh, come on. How about you start with he has a job and is nice to me? Can we start there and then get to height later, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm a big advocate of short guys, but I just love an insecure short man. I love it. I think it's so cute because, like, who cares? Obviously, people do care, but it's such a stupid thing to care about. And, like, you can't do anything about it. So, you know, I guess bring a box. Bring your box to work day, darling.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring a box to work day. So it is bring a box to work day. A bento box, because it's Japanese week. And so we have a little skit at the beginning. It's Noel. He's dressed. He has, like, an anime mask on. And he's like, it's Japanese week. And then Matt comes out, and he's got a mango on his head. He's like, you said dress like a mango character. And they're like, no, not mango, manga. Ah.
And it's a rainy day in the tent. And Mark's like, Japanese week, who'd ever thought I'd make it this far? Hee-hee! And everyone's kind of nervous about it. And Lottie's like, well, it's unfamiliar to all of us, so it's more of a level playing field this time, I suppose.
She's so angry. She's saying, like, there's a lot that can go wrong. Always, always. It's like being a Viking on the high seas. Everything go wrong at all times. I love it.
So Matt announces Japanese week, and Noel's like, we're very excited. We want you to make a batch of 8 soft steamed buns.
Usually they're filled with pork or curry, but you can choose whatever you like. And Matt's like, Noel, what would you fill your buns with? He's like, human blood. It's a family show. Dog blood. Better.
It's Japanese week, so I'd be surprised if we didn't get fillings, but we know how these cooks are. They're wonderful!
And Paul's like, the bread must be soft, chewy roll, but not too chewy, and for God's sake, not dry.
Here's what you need to have a good Japanese bun. It has to be chewy, not too chewy. It's got to melt in your mouth, and no gherkins.
When you bite into it, initially, you feel a pull. I was like, okay, calm down there, boner Paul. Jeez.
Well, of course, the filling matters. We want something that's delicious inside, but this is a bun challenge at the end of the day.
So Dave is going to make chicken-shaped katsu buns, curry. Yeah. And Paul is like, how long do you steam? Does anybody know how long to steam a bun? Good luck, stupids.
Enjoy making your undetermined length of time to be steamed buns, idiots.
So Noel's like, Dave's won't be the only animal buns today. Hermine is going to be making pandas. And Laura's going to make little piggies with sesame seeds for the eyes.
And then Pete, this is the episode where Peter says we every 5 minutes.
Yes, we. It's like, he loves saying we in this episode.
I know. He's like, well, I'm making some wee buns into wee lambs, and the lambs can be raw on the inside, but, it's, you know, it's only a wee bit raw. And my brother says that if I don't say we 35 more times before the end of the episode, I get no granola bars for the entire week.
So, Peter, how are you going to infuse flavor? And he's like, well, I'm going to stir fry aromatics and add it to lamb, then mix with soy and fish sauce. But how? Well, I'm going to color it black for the face and the ears, and then I'm going to cut it up wee shapes, wee little shapes. They look quite cute because they're wee.
And what sort of vegetables will you be using? Onions? Wrong. Wee onions. You messed up.
Stick to a theme, goddammit. This was like biting into a bun that doesn't pool.
So now the bakers have to prove the buns. If you underprove them, then it'll be bad. And if you overprove them, it'll be bad. Kind of like everything else. You just have to prove them right, okay? That's what we've learned. You can't... If you could overprove something, then you wouldn't have to say overprove.
And Peter's like, well, it's more than Chinese-inspired than Japanese-inspired, but it's wee. And then Laura's like, the Japanese element is the bun, mate, but this is more Chinese-flavored pork. You know, you fry it, make it crispy. I mean, you can't put raw pork belly in steamed buns. Now, you know what you can put it in? A pizza oven. I was waiting for you to say it, but no one said it, you know? How many goddamn times do I have to say pizza oven, mate?
Laura must have a very dull life because she goes, you can't put raw pork belly into a steamed bun. I think it would be absolutely savage, to be honest. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I guess it could be savage. I think other things are a little bit more savage. Did you hear that new Morrissey album? It's called Raw Pork Belly in a Steamed Bun. So savage.
Savage.
I heard I heard that for the Fenty show, Savage, Rihanna was going to have a whole bunch of pork belly buns go right down the runway and they're going to be raw on the inside. Savage!
Yeah, ladies are walking around the streets wearing, like, raw pork, unsteamed. So she's making 8 little piggies with pork belly sticky sauce. And Prue's like, tell us about it. Well, it sounds like it ticks all the boxes to me. Let's talk about how that bun's going to pull.
Paul has a boner over Laura's sticky buns. She's like, well, you know, the pork belly and sticky sauce, and there's going to be some sky. And he's like, go on. Yes, yes, yes. No gherkins. Oh, wow. Yes, yes. Oh, God. Hold on. I almost fell off my box.
Yeah. I would take a step back, but, you know. So he's, like, super excited. And I like how Prue asks him in such a judgy way. Like, Prue seems so sweet, you know, but some of the shit she says sounds so shady. She's like, you've practiced? I'm like, oh, damn, Prue.
So now we have old Mark, and he's making Indian-style curry. And he works himself up into a tizzy. Like, I really can't understand what he says, because he actually has, like, a little bit of a speech impediment, and he's got an accent, and he's also excited. So he's he starts talking about, like, how there's, like, he's like, well, we tried some jasmine. The jasmine was wonderful. And I was like, I was doing this with jasmine. We tried a little bit of it. The weather was rough, and then the light went out. And I'm like, what?
He says, you know, my children like to eat this. And so I'm calling it the because I feed it to them and we all bite into it at the table. And then we all go, So these are my doll steamed buns. Because we said, Do you get it? And Prue's like,
Things that make you go, doll. So then now young Mark, he's making a vegetarian filling. It's gonna be burger buns with beef mince and gherkins. Oh, can you do one without gherkins for me? I mean, who am I, just the head judge who decides your fate on a box?
Now those are just pickles, right?
Well, they're like sweet pickles. They're like, they're delicious. They're like...
Yeah, I love a little gherkin. Aren't they those little mini pickles?
They're mini pickles, but they're sweeter, you know? So if you don't like that sweetness, especially because you know, there's gherkins and cornichons, which are pretty much the same things. But
well,
when
cornichons are real salty.
Well, they're kind of the same, but gherkins are definitely like when I bought gherkins because I was like they're the same, but when I buy gherkins, they're like super sweet, and the cornichons are a little bit, they're just a little classier and more balanced.
Oh, cornichon, if you will. Yeah. So they're both Matt. Wait, blah, blah, blah. Who are we talking about? Mark and Lottie yeah. are both doing little burgers. They're yeah. making the shapes of a burger. So they're going to try and make it look like a little burger. And so Noel's like, well, I'm being so funny right now with Mark. Gherkin, gherkin, gherkin. Can't make a gherkin. Maybe murder a gherkin. Spill its blood all over the wall. Just please don't eat. Please. I love how he really leans into his eating disorder in this.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, I love looking at food, but eating is disgusting.
I know. Well, he's wearing very, very tight jeans this episode. So I think that he's like really feeling, he's like, this finally, this disorder is paying off. I can get into my tight jeans.
Yeah.
So Lottie is doing a burger also. And so there's like some banter behind them. Like Mark's like, burger off, Lottie. It's a burger off. You burger off. And I mean that. I'm not having playful banter with you. I mean that you actually go burger off your stupid face. Stupid person from a tiny desk.
And Lottie's like, well, our burgers are pretty similar. So if he gets Paul's handshake, I'll be really happy for him. Promise. So she's doing a cheeseburger in her steamed buns and adding some spiralized chips. And Prue's like, ooh, might be a few chip eaters in this group. Chips.
But Lottie is also adding gherkins to hers. And Prue's like, oh, look at little box man. He hates gherkins.
In contrast to baking, which rises, steaming raises moisture levels. So you have to be more careful. And Dave, of course, is like, well, I need to thicken the sauce so it's more of a paste. And the steam reintroduces liquid because that's how steam works. Learned it in Mexico.
I learned it while I was waiting for my tacos in Mexico.
Basically how you cook a tamale, if you will.
You may have heard of something called fajitas, those steam also. Well, they're really sizzling, but the sizzling creates steam. You see, steam is water that's evaporated. Yeah, learned that in Mexico, too.
And Hermine is making chicken panda buns.
Yeah. And it's going to have... hers have shiitake mushrooms and chicken and fresh chili. And Paul's like, well, how are you feeling about Japanese Week, Hermine? Because you are one of the most consistent bakers thus far. Consistently stupid. I'm on a box.
Yeah. You're one of the most consistently not on a box people in this competition, I mean. She's like, thanks. It's like, it's a new learning journey, but from my research, I found Japanese speaking has French influence and Japanese French speaking French. I yeah. didn't understand what
she
that
said,
was about.
No, she said that Japanese baking had French influence, and so she's hoping to draw on her knowledge of French patisserie for this challenge. And Prue just goes, well, we'll have to see if that works. Spoiler alert, it won't, because this is Japanese cooking.
I'd hate to be rude, but did you practice?
I hate to be rude, but you do know that Japan is not the home of the eclair, right?
So then, halfway through, yeah. Be careful how it works. You don't want it to look silly on TV.
And the doughs are all coming out of the proving drawer, and everyone's assembling their buns. And Lottie has to remember to do a gherkin-free bun for Paul, otherwise it could be a disaster. And then we learn also that the fillings have to be centralized in the bun, because if it's too near the top or the bottom, it could split the bun, which is really a phrase that's used a lot in gay sex. So there's that, too.
Ew.
Yeah, I had Gross. To say it. I had to say it. It was too easy.
So Lottie and Mark are messing about. If you will. She's like, well, I have to be precise, but Mark's not doing chips, so I've got that up on him. He's like, did they ask for chips? Well, who doesn't want chips, Mark? Who are you doing steam chips in? Yeah, I'm doing steam chips, mate. Yeah, good one. I was like, well, one of them's going home because they're too friendly. Like, they're having too much fun. They're going to be yeah, like, get rid of one of the happy ones.
Yeah, exactly. And then Peter, meanwhile, he's like, well, it turns out that I made a wee mistake because I think I made a wee bit too little batter because I've run out of mixture in the seven buns. So brother will not be happy with me. He will not be happy at all. Just cut to his brother, like his face up against the tent, just like hands clawing at it. Like.
So then we go to Laura making her little piggy eyes, and Mark is wrapping his steamed buns to make it look like a hamburger patty's in there. And everybody gets their steam bowls out, and the narrator, whoever it is like, once the lid is on the steamer, it needs to be airtight. The bakers won't discover how successful they are until they come out. Dun, dun, dun. 10 minutes left.
And Lottie's like, well, that's good, because I've got 9 minutes left on my bake. That's right. These thin buns are brought to you by the letter S, as in sardonic.
She's like, you know, cakes are boring. They're like, say that to the camera. Cakes are boring. Enough with the cake. Just go ahead and say it, Lottie. Say it loud.
And then Mark is just spiraling. Young Mark, he's like, well, patience is a virtue, but I always lift it in practice, and now I'm a bit worried because I lifted it in practice, so I don't know how long my cooking time is based on me lifting it. I'm like, Mark, what are you talking about?
And then we see them start to open them, and some of them come out just humongous, you know? Yeah. Laura's come out really big, and they look okay at first, but then they start looking like molting, like they're molting or something.
Yeah, some are just like really enormous, and some are bulging because of that issue where the filling was too close to the top or the bottom. And Lottie is not happy with her. She's like, Mark's are better than mine. Livid. Never seen someone so angry making such beautiful little buns.
Yeah. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. Big news, Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
You just go to peacocktv.com for free full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior. Whoa!
I mean, come on, people. We are a podcast that specializes in Bravo. So if you want to watch your Real Housewives, your Vanderpump Rules, your Top Chef. I mean, I don't even know what else I have to tell you, okay?
Okay? You can watch all these shows from the very beginning, which is very different because they haven't always been available. So it's really great to have this now. And they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, timely updates included. Okay!
All right, you know what? Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone, okay?
Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. Whoa!
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf and Badger. Wolf and Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf and Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond 5-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
Judging time. So Prue comes over to Helmeen and she gives him her chicken bun. And Prue's like, well, you need bigger eyes for the panda. So sad for the panda. Unfortunately, you didn't practice panda eyes, did you, unpracticer? Non-practice believer.
She's just laughing like, you stupid, stupid lady. Does this look like panda eyes to you? Oh, dear. And Paul's like, it's not panda-ish. It's not.
But I love it. The bread is so soft, but a little chewy, and the filling is just delicious. Oh, yes, full of flavor. And the bun, the shaping, could have been better, but look at the shape of this bun. I mean, but the flavor is very good.
So then we go on to Mark, and Paul's non-gherkin bun, he did not have sesame seeds on it. That's how it was delineated. And Paul's like, but I wanted sesame seeds. So Prue's like, well, it has good flavor. Well, the burger's quite dry, though. But I guess I would say this is pretty terrible, but it has nice flavor.
It's like, well, the taste is good, the bun is good, slightly chewy, not pulling, smooth top, simple, highly effective, no one's pulling me, you're dead in the water.
All right, now let's go on to Laura. Too much filling in your dough. These pigs look like they've been at the sty way too long, if you know what I'm saying. Tastes lovely, a bit dry, tastes beautiful. I don't know what else to say. I'm going to step off my box.
And then Mark with the C. Mark with the C's. Doll steamed buns.
Doll. Well, they just look lovely. If we were looking for oversized buns that are ridiculous, they look lovely.
Yes, they've spent a little too much time in the steamer. They're so big. Paul, you should try that before the next episode. You wouldn't have to stand in one spot so often, darling.
He goes, they're too big. Just angry. He has a real resentment about things that are too big.
Yeah, he's all mad. He's like, I hate these chow buns.
He's like, these are too big. She goes, well, I don't mind them being too big, but then again, I'm greedy.
So then Dave's chicken-shaped chicken buns.
Those are cute. Like,
love the addition of the color. Very neat, bold, well-shaped, shiny, smooth, not a taquito. Good job, Dave. And Dave's just like, boop. Dave always looks so afraid that they're going to hit him.
Yeah, he really does. He just sort of gets that red in the face and that nervous woodland creature eyeball thing where he's like, am I okay? Is it okay?
Yeah. Love the chicken. The bun is lovely. We could have had more filling, more curry, but very, very good. Nice. Look at this art. Look at this art. This is delicious. My only gripe is it's coming through. But thank you for making a short bun. Thank you.
Next time, maybe do without the tiny sombreros. So now we go to Peter's sheep, which were really cute. It was like seven white sheep and one black sheep, which was adorable. But he apparently had some sort of air pockets that had shrunken, and then they shrunk back in because the air pockets, and it caused some sort of creasing or something like that because it's not taut around the meat. Look, it's pulled away. It's pulled away.
There's more meat than dough here, which this is a baking show. All right. None of us have more meat than dough. All right. Get it right if you're going to be on this cast.
So then up to Lottie, and hers look really cute because they look like little burgers because she decorated them that way. They look like they have lettuce and stuff. And Prue's like, bacon, cheese, burger, relish, bun, tent, lady, man, grass, hand, foot. It's like, Prue, stop. Oh, sorry.
Greedy. I was just saying burger things. Now, Lottie, it looks good, but here's the problem. Now it has to taste good, Lottie. Did you practice? And Paul's like, well, it's like a dry burger. Spot on if you like dry burgers. She's like, well, it went in raw, so it must be very difficult to do the steaming.
Yeah. And they compliment her on her bun. They say it's beautiful how it wraps around the filling. But Paul's like, yeah, dry burger. And then Lottie's like, well, he said mine was dry, but if you'd eaten it with the relish, then it wouldn't have been as dry. He's too scared to say it to his face.
Peter looks suicidal, by the way. Always. While he watches anybody else get a compliment.
He gets so pale.
Please keep my brother out of the tent. So now is the technical challenge. Hello, bakers. Today's challenge has been set by the lovely Prue.
All right, when you read this recipe, do not panic. There's nothing in there that you haven't done before, except for the entire recipe. Good luck.
Yeah. So Noel's like, she says don't panic. That definitely means panic. Matcha crepe cake, stacked one on top of the other, layered with strawberries and white chocolate ganache cream, topped with edible flowers, Cinderella slippers, butterflies and rainbows. Go.
And Dave's like, a matcha crepe cake? I haven't even heard of that. Not even heard of making a cake out of crepes. Is that like taking a bunch of tortillas and stacking them and putting frosting on them? That's crazy. Even for Mexico.
So Paul and Prue are eating their sample versions, and they look crazy. It's like a big green kind of broccoli shape.
It looks like a beret. It looks like a beret made out of Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, it does. And matcha tea, whatever, so it's bright green. And she's like, oh, matcha always cuts the sweetness. And he's like, well, I see a few things going wrong here.
I mean, where do you think the bakers are going to go wrong with this? Because I can see a few things. Consistency being number one. Okay, go tell, and I'm going to laugh every time you say about where they're going to mess up.
Paul would be a terrible flight attendant. All right, welcome to the plane, everybody. Get your goddamn seatbelts on, you idiots. Now, a lot of things could go wrong today, all right? You might feel the plane shaking. That means you could be dead soon. So you're going to see something fall out the top. Make sure you make sure there's one on you before your child, because really, who needs to save children? They're disgusting little creatures, all right? Don't die. If you need me, don't ding. I'm not dingable. All right.
And just be prepared for when you ask me for a cocktail, I'm going to stare at you for a second too long and then shake my head as I pour it.
Lady without her seatbelt, I'd just like to say one word to you. Dry! You're dry!
Enjoy these dry peanuts I'm going to throw down onto your tray as if I resent every single fiber of your being.
So Matt goes to check on Hermine. And she's like, well, you know, matcha as a drink is good. It has antioxidants. And he's like, I hate antioxidants. I'm very antioxidant.
Yeah. And Laura, she's like, I actually hate matcha. I mean, why don't you just eat grass? I mean, why does God even provide something edible that you can't even put into a pizza oven? All right. It's stupid.
Yeah, so they're going through trying to figure out what the hell these recipes are telling them to do. Laura's flinging butter around.
Yeah. They're melting chocolate and stuff, and Peter's like they have to make a Swiss meringue, and Peter's like, well, you're supposed to heat up your eggs over eggs and sugar over bain-marie while whisking that so the sugar's all dissolved and the eggs are getting it nice and frothy. And oh, did I get that right, brother? Did I get that right? He's gluten free. He's very angry right now.
So they're all making their crepes and freaking out because these are very difficult and they've only got enough batter to make them exactly right. Right. And so Peter's like, uh-oh, this fellow broke, so he's going to become a small pancake. Oh, God, yeah. I'm going to die.
His crepe falls apart, and he says, like the way he curses is exactly how you'd expect Peter to curse. He goes, crumbs! And Noel is just trying to get people to flip their crepe with the pan, because they're all, like, picking it up with their fingers and flopping it over. And he's like, do you want to flip it? Flip it. You want to flip it? They're like, no, I can't. I mustn't. Flip it. Flip it.
No, you've got to do it with one hand, man. Come on.
It's how they do it in Mexico, Dave. It's how they do it. He's like, fine, Mexico.
So who's next here? Laura's like, Laura's running low because she's made hers too thick. But only half an hour left. Better do the filling. So now strawberry layers, and then they have to like get all this shit into the bowl. And it's scary. It's hard to watch it. I was stressed out.
It was very intense because all those crepes were sort of questionable. And a lot of them were running out of batter. And then they had to put it into the bowls and... And then they put it in the bowls, and then they have to put it in the freezer to set, and then they have to turn it out. And when they put it in the bowls, they have to remove the paper that they lifted it into, and then they got to dust it with matcha powder. And you'd think that the hardest part would be over. Once they finally turn it out and put it out, you'd think that'd be the hardest part. But apparently the hardest part was trying to understand what a crescent of fruit was, because the directions say, put a crescent of fruit on top. And everyone's like, what's a crescent of fruit? What does that mean?
Even I knew that one.
Yeah, right? Dave was like, yeah, Dave was just like, he's like, I don't know what a crescent is, so I'm gonna go four seasons. Four, like, how do you not know what a crescent is, Dave?
Laura's dropping fruit everywhere and flinging butter, and now it's time for the blind taste testing. They were expecting an exquisite crepe cake. What did they get? So they start with Mark with the K, and Bree was like, not perfectly folded. The strawberry is too thick. They need to be really thin or they get wet and slimy.
Yeah. His was all janky because when we saw the model one that Prue and Paul were eating, it was like very clean lines. It was kind of beautiful. And then Mark's looked like an animal was like hiding under their carpet. Just sort of like lumpy and like folds and everything. It's like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. And then Dave just starts gulping in terror as they go over his. It's not really a blind taste test if you're over there like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I hope they like mine.
Paul's like, well, there's a lot going on here. It looks like a fiesta of some sort. Wonder who did this one. Okay, and by the way, we did ask for a semicircle, you idiot. It's the easiest part of the whole damn challenge.
Hmm. And Priya's like, not well decorated. I'm out of witty things to say. I have this to say. This sucks. All right?
This How blows. Do you say this sucks in Spanish? This saquito.
And Hermine has made a full circle of flowers. And Lottie's is next. And Paul's like, well, this is a bit neater, but too much coconut. I mean, let's celebrate the matcha, not coconut.
You might as well throw a bunch of gherkins on the stupid thing. But it's really good, though.
Delicious, yeah.
And the layers were all great. And then Peter is next, and Paul's like, well, I quite like this one. Very nice flavors. Oh, when I eat it, I taste fear. Whose is this? Peter, is that you? Why are you trembling?
I feel a gluten ghost hanging over me, threatening to stab me with a toothpick if I don't love this one. Hmm.
Now,
what this could be?
Just a reminder, we did ask for a crescent of fruit, and this one has the word we spelled out in strawberries.
So they get to Laura's, and they're like, oh, it's so small and thin, hardly any layers. The crepe are so thick, and it's just too chewy. And Laura's looking at them like, I'll fucking kill you in your sleep, mate. Do you not
understand? I'll tell you what's chewy, my attitude, after I'm submitted to matcha, matcha, matcha.
Yeah. And then Mark with the C. Two thick layers, buddy. SARS.
Yeah. So now the order from last to first, last is Laura, then Mark, old Mark, then young Mark. Prue goes, it's just very ugly at the side. Just adds that in there for fun. And then it's Hermine, Dave, Lottie, and first place goes to Peter. It's a model. It's a model.
And Pete's like, absolutely chuffed.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to sleep a lot easier tonight, especially knowing that my brother won't kill me. And Laura's like, well, somebody's going to come in last, don't they, mate? All right. You know, if things don't go well, I've always got the pizza oven, all right?
Yeah. So next up, who will be saying sayonara? And Matt's like, Paul, I know you've been dying to say this, so here's another chance. You were in Japan. He's like, yes, I was in Japan. You know, and I'm just surprised how decent these things were, because, you know, I've had them Japanese style before, so.
I've had them actually in Japan. So Laura's at the bottom, and Hermine is in the middle, and Mark with a K is in the middle, and they could float up or down, depending on how many of those steam buns they've had. I'll tell you one thing that also floats up or down, my box. It has a little elevator.
But you know, I was reading the old Facebook, my only news source, and people were saying they don't like Mark and that he's an asshole. And I was like, what? What did we miss? Because usually we love to call people an asshole on this show, so I don't know what we missed, but I guess there's people that don't like him.
He literally spends the entire season just laughing in the corner. Like, he just does that the entire time.
Yeah.
And when he's talking, it's like in a sweet little sort of semi-Irish accent.
Oh, you know? So now's your favorite thing, the kawaii cake.
Kawaii cake is all things cute and charming, all right? So the flavors, the type of sponge, and the decoration take inspiration from Japanese cuisine. And Paul's like, think animation, think cartoon. Think about my most recent visit to Japan, which was recently.
I need it to be highly decorated, quite vibrant, neat, and a world traveler like me. Anyone? Any questions about my trip to Japan?
Would anyone like to see my signed CD from Gwen Stefani when she was in her Harajuku girl phase? Because I was part of that emotionally.
So the judges go over to Mark with a K first, and he's going to make an avocado cake decorated with little emojis, which sounds cute. And then one of them's going to have the seed, like it's pregnant with a little avocado baby.
Yeah, it's cute. They're like, oh, okay. And Prue's like, well, getting in touch with your feminine side but by making little cute avocado babies. You're so silly. I'm wasted. I had a good amount of whiskey in between challenges.
And Mark with the C is wanting to make a toasted soybean cake, which just sounds delicious.
Yeah. And he's using matcha and rose water. So, yeah, maybe this one he'll call, doll? For a question mark.
And Dave is doing Yoki, short for Yokohama, a Japanese city.
Yes.
In Mexico.
The first time I visited Yokohama was when I was in Mexico, and I was at a taco stand waiting, and I said, I wish I were in Yokohama, but I was really in Mexico.
Mm. So, Mark is making his border terrier, Hamish.
Hamish. Yeah, Hamish. Of course he has a border terrier named Hamish. it's going to be lemon Swiss meringue buttercream with a honey and tahini sponge and ginger and soybean powder. And Paul's like, how's it going to look like a dog? It looks ridiculous.
And then over with Pete, he's like, oh, you know, the texture's going to be like a kitchen sponge. And Laura's is a chiffon sponge. And she's like, it does have the potential to collapse like my dreams today, mate. And Lottie's like, I'm making a cotton jiggle cake into a toadstool.
Oh, cotton jiggle cake. That's exactly what I call Paul Hollywood every episode. Get over here, you cotton jiggle cake. The box is ready for you.
You know the reason it's called a jiggle cake. It's because it jiggles. Like a souffle, Prue. I fucking know. God damn it. Get this woman out of here. I'm trying to work.
Well, last time I was in Japan, I didn't have to have an education from some old dingbat about jiggle cakes. I just ate them.
And Lottie's like, yeah, it's a gamble. And then hers is going to be called Into the Japanese Woods. Yeah. And then let's see.
Gotta here. Love a Sondheim reference in the middle of all this madness.
Yeah. Into the woods, into the woods, into the woods, and into the woods, and into the
Japanese
woods, into the woods, and into the woods. So Hermine is closer to home. She's like, well, there's a Japanese garden where I have lunch because it's quite peaceful. So I'm going to make that.
Yeah. that was her thing was that she like works near a garden. And then I love the challenges like, okay, make something really cute. It has to be super, super cute and cheerful. And she's making this like dark, moody cake with a decorative geisha. I'm like, okay, that's, I guess, cute for someone.
Yeah, she makes a really dark themed one. So time to get the cakes into the oven. Sponges in the oven, guys. So now they start working on their fillings.
And this is where we learn about Peter's very, very strange idea for this challenge that he like really dives into and is like very, very excited about it, perhaps more than anyone else. I think so. He's making a cake called Dizzy the Shuttlecock. And the way he talks about it, you would think that Dizzy the Shuttlecock is like a beloved cartoon that has like captivated British audiences for 50 years. He's like, oh, it's Dizzy the Shuttlecock. Yes, yes, it's Dizzy the Shuttlecock. It's going to look really, really cute. It's going to look like a little anthropomorphic shuttlecock that has a little bit. It's been hit on the head with a racket. So he's seeing stars and has a wee bump on his head. His little wee head has a little wee bump. It's a little shuttlecock that's got hurt. It's a stupid little shuttlecock.
All right, you're making me a little uncomfortable, so let's calm you down by talking about hobbies. You teach badminton, do you, to children? Maybe you can teach my daughter. She's 2. How young can you teach badminton? He's like, shuttlecocks! You know what? Shuttlecocks only use left wing of the goose. The shuttlecock, shuttlecock! He's like, all right. Now listen, this is fantasy land with you today. I mean, look at you. Shuttlecock, you coach toddlers to play badminton. I think I'm right in love with you, actually.
Oh, really? You know who I'm in love with? Dizzy the Shuttlecock. He's such a adorable little shuttlecock. You know, I taught a wee boy who was 3 how to play badminton. It was wonderful. I can't wait to tell him about Dizzy the Shuttlecock. Now, by the way, Dizzy the Shuttlecock, he got hit in the head with a racket, so he's seeing stars and has a bump on his head. What the hell sort of shuttlecock are you? That's your job, shuttlecock. You were supposed to get hit on the head by the racket. You're supposed to thrive in that environment.
He's Dizzy the Shuttlecock, Ben. Yay? Don't tell him who he is.
He's a Dizzy Shuttlecock.
So then Laura is going to do an upside-down pineapple cake, which I think we've already done. But she's like, but it's going to be upside-down pineapple cake. So the pineapple's going to be upside down. All right? Do you get it?
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Have you ever taken a pizza oven and put it upside down? Of course you haven't, because it's ridiculous. So this is a ridiculous challenge, and I'm doing it. Matcha, I fucking hate the shit.
So Matt's like, yesterday was challenging for you, wasn't it? She's like, you know, in my head, I'm already going home. And he's like, no, no, I'm feeling so positive about it. Really, did you see the shuttlecock person? Really, just lighten up, all right? It'll be fine.
So halfway through, and Hermine's, like, something's coming out that's stodgy. And then Laura, she pulls some sponges out of the oven, and she's like, well, this one's halfway collapsed. Oh, well, it's okay. It's a backup. And then she just, like, notices Paul just staring at her, like, it took me 5 minutes to get onto this box, and I'm not getting off anytime soon.
Until someone comes to move this box, I'm standing here staring at you like this.
I'll tell you what was a backup. Japan. I was supposed to go to Portugal, but I wound up in Japan. And guess what? That makes me a person who's been to Japan.
So now they're doing the decorative stuff, and Mark's just cracking up at himself about his avocados. And the other Mark is making bones for his little dog. He's like, I'm making bones because Hermes is he's a naughty boy. I made these bones, and then the thing is that he ate the bones. And I was like, well, I think it's because they're in the shape of bones.
Well, that's why I call them bones. Like, he ate the bones.
And Lottie is doing a cherry blossom tree mold type thing. And then Matt goes over to check on Hermine, and he's like, have you been to Japan? No. Would you like to go? Because Paul said he'll take the winner to Japan.
He goes, really? Really?
No. No.
No. 1 hour left. So now Peter is stacking his cake, Dave is trying to do some sort of spiral thing. He's like filling in something with a spiral, and Noel's just pestering him, and Dave is getting so mad. It was like really gratifying to see. He's like, you're going to mess up my spiro.
And Laura is crying, which I didn't like Laura crying. I don't like that. Okay, stop crying, because she's messing up her fondant.
Yeah, she's really nervous about her fondant going up on top of her pineapple.
Yeah, he's like, but it looks neat. She's like, no, it's the pressure. Like, I can't with the pressure. He's like, come on, just keep going. You can do this. I believe in you. Your dough, which made her sauce and cheese on top, about to go into a pizza oven. I feel better. I can finish this now. Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate.
yeah, so she's really nervous. The pressure's getting to her. There's 10 minutes left. Mark is stressing. Hermine is abandoning her adorable geisha for her super cute geisha in a dark sky cake. And Laura's just like, oh, well, I can't even remember what this pineapple is supposed to look like. I mean, what's a pineapple supposed to look like? A pineapple? I don't even know anymore.
I know, you've got her struggling to make a damn pineapple, and then they start judging with Peter, who's like, all right, just wait here while I get fireworks to go off on top of Shuttlecock, who's the most amazing creature. Oh, his head's exploding. Look, Shuttlecock is flying around the room. He's in a cartwheel.
Yeah, he is so into it, and then he's like so happy with himself. He's like, well, I think I've captured a certain dizziness in his eyes. Look, that's why his name is Dizzy, because he's dizzy all the time. He's a stupid little Shuttlecock that got dizzy. Oh, what silly. Silly, silly Shuttlecock.
He's dizzy because he got a wee bump on his head. And Paul's like,
a wee bump.
Great. And Prue's like, it's funny because it's cute and slightly mad. Just like you, always talking to that invisible person who wants to kill you. It's my brother. It is my brother, and I shall perfect the gluten-free Shuttlecock before I return home.
Well, Peter, congratulations. You seem all sweet and innocent, but now you can say you made me eat cock on this show.
He's like, well, it's a bit chewy. Needs more punch. And not for me. You know, for me, it's just not the right taste. And Peter's like, thank you.
It's not the right taste, and also I hate the entire concept of it. You're stupid, and you should be ashamed of it. A shuttlecock, for crying out loud. There's a Great British Bake Off, not like the wide world of sports, you idiot. Get out of my face.
I know. Poor Peter went from like the happiest person in the world to just like sobbing in the corner.
He's going to go to sleep tonight and have like nightmares of Dizzy the Shuttlecock saying, you failed me.
Now you failed two of us. So Dave's cake, his matcha cake, it's a cute little doggy cake. And yeah. I was like, well, the crease is a letdown.
Much like your jeans. There, I said it. You just got burned.
Mm, of the course, layers Dave looks like terrified. He's like, oop, 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 oop.
And Prue is surprised that Rosewater and Matcha. Oh, I said the Rosewater and Matcha was Mark earlier, but it was Dave. That's why I said the Hmm Doll. Either way.
Oh.
Still reserve the right for calling it the Hmm Doll, Shibu Inu. It still works. It turns out well. The point is, it turns out well.
Yeah. Decent. I love when Paul's like, decent job. So then Lottie is into the Japanese woods, into the Japanese woods mushroom thing.
It's a cake with a sponge. It's a sponge with a cake. It's a toad. It's a toadstool. That is a wobbly. It's a little top heavy. It's a little sweet. It's a little, it's a toad. It's a blah, 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 blah. Agony!
And Prue's like, it jiggles because it jiggles because it's, we get it. We get it. All right, Prue, Jesus. Paul's like, well, I thought there had to be more, but that's stunning. That's stunning.
It's really good. It's amazing. I mean, last time I had a sponge like that, do you know where I was? Anyone want to take a guess where I was when I had a sponge
Mexico!
Like that? No, try again. It was someplace very special and very relevant to this challenge. I got it.
All right, Dave, you get a second guess. Go ahead. Mexico. God damn it, it was Japan. I was actually in Japan. All right?
That's right, everyone. Everyone just, like, sit there, let it soak in for a moment that I've actually been to Japan. Yeah, just think about that. Mm-hmm. Great.
I feel like I should get a stamp on my passport every time I take a bite of one of these things.
Sometimes when I listen to that song, I'm turning Japanese, I say, I've already been to Japanese.
So then Hermine's strawberry cherry blossom cake, and it is very pretty. I think the cake is really, really pretty. It's just not cute at all, you know? It's like a dark piece of art.
Yeah, and Prue's like, well, this is charming, but it ain't cute. And Paul's like, well, it's quite menacing, you know? The tree is sort of stumpy. Oh, that's what I always say about you, Paul. Little box man.
Fondant thick, buttercream thick, shame.
Not enough country that I was just in this.
Mm. So then Mark with the C, Hamish the dog. Fantastic job. Oh, eating dogs, delicious. And Paul's like, well, you can see the character, so let's have a look inside. And Mark now looks like he's about to cry. And he's like, tahini.
She's like, this is a surprise. I like it. I like it.
A tahini and roasted soybean.
You spoil us so much. Mm-hmm. And then we go on to Laura with her pineapple, which looks really cute because it's an upside-down pineapple-esque thing. And Paul's like, well, that's very cute for a stupid-looking pineapple. That's not quite right. Wish it could look more like a pineapple instead of a marshmallow on top of a green thing. But, you know, you can only do so much, especially if you haven't been to Japan like I have.
Loser! So then Mark with a K, avocado babies. And Paul's like, well, I mean, they're a bit cute. I guess a bit scruffy.
Oh, it's witty and charming. But guess what? It also has to taste good. Have I said that yet today? Have I said that?
It has to taste good, too. So it's a very tight sponge, very dry. The avocado oil hasn't kept it smooth, you know? And Mark's like, well, try the cake at the bottom. I think it'll be a little better in the bottom. It'll be better.
Paul's like, he's like, no, actually, it's probably worse.
It's cruel to say it's inedible, but it's getting that way. I sure wouldn't send this to someone in Japan.
And Prue just takes the little baby and eats the head off. She's like,
the baby is delicious, but it's less than 1% of the whole lot, so...
Less than 1%? That's the same percentage of people in this tent who've been to Japan!
And Mark's like, he used the word inedible. That's not good, is it?
No. At which point I was like, ooh, I think the tribute to Mark is a tribute to his departure. So now we're going to deliberations, and Matt's like, this is the first week I've been in the tent, and every single showstopper was a wow. And Prue goes, to look at.
But it has to taste good, too.
So Mark with a C and Dave are in line for Star Baker. And Paul says regarding Lottie, he's like, I've never in the Levin series tasted a sponge like that. I'm really glad I didn't give her a handshake because that was one of the most remarkable cakes of all time. No handshake, though. No handshake.
But Mark with a K. And I was like, yes, and Laura, she was in trouble. Cry, cry. Why, cry, cry. I said, you know what would make you feel better? Never eat anything. Works for me.
Yeah. I liked Prue talking about Mark's cake. She goes, well, I thought the idea was quirky and funny and very kawaii. But the cake was awful.
So who's in the bottom now? It's Mark with the K, Laura, and Hermine.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
It's also Paul's 100th episode.
Wow, you must have wonderful legs having to get up and down that box for 100 episodes.
By this time, you've got a ass like a basketball. For good reason. Good for you.
Next week's Star Baker Challenge will be making a cake that looks like Paul's ass. It must be firm, round, and incomparable.
I'd like to open this bottle of bubbly for Paul, or as we like to call him, the man who never misses a leg day.
So now it's time to go back to the tent, and it's time to announce who the Star Baker is. And no surprise here, of course it's Lottie, because she blew Paul's mind with her amazing, what was it called? Cotton Jiggly Puff? Whatever.
Into the Japanese woods.
No, but the sponge was like a cotton jiggly sponge pop.
It was like a cherry blossom cotton candy sponge bloody bloody blah blah. I don't know. I forgot.
Jiggly. Jiggly. The word jiggly
was
involved.
Do you know why it jiggles? Yes, for you.
So leaving us is someone who always has a smile, someone who I've bonded with, someone who likes sitting at a very tiny desk when he's at home and letting giant dogs drag him around parks. The baker leaving us is Mark L.
Oh, poor guy. He cries. He's like, well, when you know, don't ya? They're happy tears. I made it. I made it to week 6. Maze and bunch of friends pushed me to bake what I would never bake before. Bake.
I couldn't have asked for anything more except for perhaps a dog that's a little bit more controlled. It's been brilliant from start to finish. Brilliant.
And Prue's like, it doesn't matter how talented you are. One bad cake and you're out.
Yeah. And she's like, poor Mark. That disaster of a showstopper. A true disaster that should haunt him for decades to come. I actually thought Laura would be going home today. And gosh, I wanted to send her home with a stupid pizza oven. But she really did a wonderful showstopper. So let's just dwell on Mark. The failure that is Mark. What a terrible, terrible mistake he made.
Mark, did you practice?
I've been to Japan.
And that brings us to the end of the Great British Baking Show.
And next week, we don't know what next week is going to be. So I guess that's going to be a big surprise in the tent.
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We are back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Orange County. And yeah, go buy your tickets to our live show for next week and, you know, do all the things. And hope you all are well and safe. And we'll talk to you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordis, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.